The Spinoff Podcast Network.
Raising capital or taking your business to the world? Investment Fix has everything you need to make it happen. This season, we're exploring the US market, the opportunities it offers, what it takes to grow a business there, and the best way to approach investors. The Investment Fix Podcast. Tune in today.
Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
G'day, mates. Slightly different opening today because it's Australia Week at the Spinoff.
Yeah, Australia Week.
Yeah.
I don't often do accents, or I'm not Toby Manhire, you know.
You sounded like an American being an Australian more than a Kiwi.
Well, I am half Australian. It's disappointing that I can't do it.
Channel your origins.
I think it's if you go too hard.
Yeah, I know. Whenever you try to do anything too hard, you always fuck it up, right?
Yeah.
When people are watching and stuff,
but you can never do it.
Thanks, Sophie. So across the Spinoff this week, to celebrate the launch of the Trans-Tasman travel bubble, we are doing Australia Week. You know, looking at the beautiful things about Australia, the terrible things about Australia, the fascinating relationship New Zealand has with Australia. And so today we're talking about, and hopefully should Matthew McCauley come through, eating some Australian food.
Exciting.
And we wouldn't be here without the support of a wonderful New Zealand company that raises and feeds us pigs that are raised in New Zealand, which isn't always the case with bacon. Freedom Farms. So shop Freedom Farms, buy their beautiful free-range eggs and Freedom Farmed pork, and thank you for looking after us. Do we like Australian food? Can you think of what Australian food is?
Yes, my instant response would be yes. I think they've, because of their, just by virtue of their population, but they've got a better restaurant scene than us.
Yeah, I think my initial response would be the cities have great dining scenes. They also have the Italian and Greek populations that,
yes,
they have sort of, their cities came up with, I guess, more cosmopolitanness.
Well, you've raised it. I really want to quickly talk about, what's the name of the Greek tavern?
Jimmy's Greek Tavern.
Oh my gosh. So this is
in Melbourne.
An iconic Melbourne dining experience. We were fortunate enough to get to know the
daughter
of Jimmy.
Of the parents, yeah. Well, it may have been named after her grandfather. I think it's called Jim's Greek Tavern. I think her grandfather might have been Jim, but yeah, her parents were running the restaurant at the stage.
And you got treated like royalty when you went in there with, can you remember her name? Pam?
Pam Panagopoulos.
Pam.
Because look, Jim's Greek Tavern on Instagram, the person's name is Leo Panagopoulos. It's the first Greek tavern in Melbourne.
You just get like octopus arriving. Yeah. Like it is highly recommended dining experience if you're ever in Melbourne.
And did you guys live there at the same time? Is it?
Yes, we
yeah,
did.
Yeah, there was crossover, wasn't
didn't
there?
Didn't you crash into a kangaroo with Pamagopoulos?
Oh, my God.
Yes, yeah.
That happened.
I think, so you had a short stint selling electricity on door-to-door, and I had a short stint selling electricity on the phones. This is when, basically in Australia, the electricity providers, the industry, became privatised. So
right. All
the, like, small players were getting in there, and they were just getting, like, squads of people on the blower, transferring people from Mercury Energy to Simon Day's power company. And that's what we did. But Pam was actually on the phones with us as well. And she has
became a
she was a very interesting
home girl.
Whole family history and
Sounds great.
But anyway.
It wasn't. It was terrible. I felt like I was sent out into the suburbs of Australia to scare poor people into changing to my.
Not ideal.
So I lasted 2 days. It was horrific. Yeah.
You also had a run-in with someone that was teaching you that was using methamphetamine on the job?
So in the back of the team bus when we got out into the suburbs, he got amped up to sell energy by having a go on the crack pipe.
And I remember our age. It was like absolutely alarming.
Second year university.
Yeah, and so at that time, Pam took us to Jim's Greek Tavern, which was her family restaurant, and we probably went 3 or 4 times over that summer. But it's just, you know, if you've ever, I'd never had Saganaki before. We've not.
What's Saganaki?
That's the cheese.
Flaming cheese.
Flaming cheese with the honey all over it.
Oof.
It's such a vibe. But also, this is pre-Ottolinghi, so it's like this was Mediterranean food that we hadn't really got fully amongst before.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
And Lygon Street is iconic for some Italian food in Melbourne as well.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Players on Lygon.
What's the Lygon Street? There's a really lovely Italian place. My friend Danielle, who lives there, used to work there.
Google it while we talk about the fact that Alice is just about to publish, you know, the Ten Commandments, the codification of who really owns the disputed Trans-Tasman food. It's a, you know, she's done some incredible research, hours and hours of talking to historians. No, you haven't talked to anyone.
Extensive investigative journalism.
What does that mean? Who owns the Trans-Tasman
food? Like Pavlova,
disputed
whose food is that?
Foods.
Oh, sure.
Pavlova, who owns that?
You'll have to wait and see.
You have to read the piece, spinoff.co.nz.
I should warn you that most of the verdicts I come to are based on just my vibes rather than fact.
Oh, okay.
However,
I was joking about the research.
Yeah, so we'll just use it as Alice's word, which is as good as any, really.
I think so,
what else is under dispute? Lamingtons?
Lamingtons, yep.
Fish and chips? No, that's British.
Well, fish and chips, Weet-Bix.
It could have been like who had it first.
See, I didn't realise that the original song was Weet-Bix kids are Aussie kids.
It's so confronting. Yeah. Oh, I know, you feel so betrayed.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is upsetting.
Fairy bread.
Is
pies.
That surely heaps of these are British.
Do Aussies claim pies?
Yeah, they claim that, like, you know, they're like, it's a national food, the pie, the bloody Aussie pie.
Is it?
Yeah. So we think it's ours, but they have the same shit.
I'm outraged.
I know.
Up in arms.
I didn't even know that pies were part of that whole debate.
Yeah, apparently.
I think that Australians, and I'm qualifying it by saying just by virtue of their population, but they have an exceptionally world-class restaurant scene. Like, the other day when the Trans-Tasman bubble popped, I had a list in my phone of restaurants that I'm keen to go to when I'm in Sydney.
Have you booked already?
No, but I'm about to. And neither my mother nor my husband were very supportive of my idea. And they were like, so you literally just want to go to Sydney to go to restaurants.
What else do you go to Sydney for, though?
You know, you're supporting their economy.
For Boogie and my dad.
No, but then you go out to food with Boogie and your dad.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. I was like, this is so bizarre that seems like a weird activity, particularly when that is like my only hobby. So.
Have you ever gone to, say, Melbourne, Sydney, Hobart, and done, like, gone to, like, an art gallery? I guess I did go to MoMA.
Yeah.
MoMA in Hobart, and that was, that's highly recommended.
I would also, add to another qualification to all of my statements is that I'm a real basic bitch when it comes to Australia. Like, I'm really familiar with Melbourne and
you're kind
Sydney.
Of a Philistine out of sight of food anyway, right?
Simon.
Like, no taste in music.
I'm deeply cultured. I just don't like the same things as you.
Never read a novel.
Oh, my God.
You never read a novel.
Look, he's not far off, but I've read quite a lot of the big, important ones. So I can
like the Da Vinci Code. Well,
no, but when people will talk at a dinner party about a book, honestly, I shit you not, randomly, about half the time I've read it. But I have only read about 10 books, like novels.
But the big ones. They're the only ones you need, really.
Yeah, but Melbourne and Sydney, I think when I talk about Australia, I'm speaking about those places. Yeah. I know absolutely nothing about the rest
of
Australia.
Have you been to Adelaide?
No, I'd like to go to Adelaide.
You'd really love Adelaide. Adelaide blew my socks off. I went there just after the entire... So Adelaide used to be Courtney Place on MDMA, like just like they had nothing except this one strip of Moore. Fucking ripped students who caused heaps of trouble. And it was because they had this weird licensing rule where unless you could have capacity for over 150 people, I think, you couldn't get a license to serve alcohol.
Oh.
And then that changed. So it's just mega venues. Only mega venues. And the only mega venues that really succeed are really terrible ones, you know?
Yeah.
Got to play some wagon wheel to get enough people chanting along after six jugs of beer.
I mean, but us basic bitches don't mind a bit of wagon wheel.
Then the law changed and the Minister for South Australia at the time became known affectionately as the Minister for Small Bars. Oh. And all these laneways behind the main strip just got transformed over a 12-month period into fantastic like 12-person bars and restaurants. And it's absolutely thriving now, just... You just walk in and out of all these streets in Adelaide and it's so much fun. The Adelaide Oval has just been refurbished and is perhaps the most beautiful cricket ground on and football ground on the planet, and the city's vibing.
I spent a lot of time in Adelaide in the early 2000s because my parents moved there when I was in my last year of high school.
Why?
I didn't know this.
But I didn't because my dad's got a job there.
Right.
But I found it quite boring, like a giant Palmerston North. But it did have quite good food.
This is before the Minister of Small Bars came in.
That did have good food.
That is a good one to whack on the CBA. Formerly known as the Minister of Small Bars.
I bumped into him at a small bar. My host was like, that's the guy who did this.
Yeah.
He was lit.
What a Gary.
Do we think, though, that most of the good restaurants, or a large amount of Australia's great restaurant scene, is thanks to New Zealanders?
Lots of great New Zealand chefs.
Mm. Yeah, there are a lot of them. There's a bunch of Kiwi chefs that all went to London and did their OEs and then went back to Australia and set up restaurants.
Mm. Well, you've got the whole, Dave Verhul or whatever his name is, the town mouse.
Oh, yeah.
What's the other one?
Oh, they've got...
the Melbourne places.
Yeah, and the one on the corner.
Yeah.
I went there last year.
Oh,
the day before COVID.
Here it comes.
Something exciting's happening.
It's not good.
It's not good. What is it?
So Matt, who's just busted into the studio, has cooked kangaroo on the office sandwich press.
Wow.
Should I give you some background?
Yeah, do you want to jump on the mic?
Jump on the mic.
I'll jump on mic.
Matt was out picking up firewood because it's getting a bit cold in Auckland and stopped in at the Greyland Butcher.
So I mean, no one else can see how bad this looks, and Simon's about to experience how bad it tastes. That's exactly the buzz. It smells exactly like when you buy cat food from one of those weird big factories outside of a small town. It smells less like that now that it's cooked. But so we have a sandwich press in the office
quite
that gets
gamey.
Really hot, so gamey. There's like no fat in it at all. It's extremely lean. But we have a sandwich press which gets extremely hot, so Simon and I thought this would work completely fine. I didn't realize it has a really effective and like efficient thermostat. So it got super hot and seared like one side of these very thinly sliced frozen pieces of kangaroo, and then just like lost all of the heat entirely. So it's pretty awful.
It looks like you managed to cook it through, though. It looks kind of well done from where I'm sitting.
It's sliced about a millimeter thin.
So
about 10 minutes ago it was frozen, right?
Yeah.
And now it's lukewarm in the studio.
I'm not sure we're doing this fine beast justice.
Oh, Alice, you don't need to try it because you're vegetarian.
I've never been more pleased to be vegetarian.
However,
give some to Stanley. He'll love it.
It tastes fine. Yeah. Like it's quite clean and lean and very...
venison-like.
Yeah, very metallic, and it's obviously,
It needs like a really rich sauce.
With a bit of sweetness or something.
Almost like a savoury chocolate sauce.
Like things you serve with venison, right?
Mm. Either that or like a tataki, like a ponzu.
So the only other time I've eaten... Thanks, Matt. I really appreciate you doing that.
I really appreciate that whole mission you just went on a lot more than I appreciate the taste.
We often send people on wild kangaroo hunts for this podcast. Sophie spent an hour in a queue at...
Faro last week, only to get the wrong wasabi.
Aww.
It was the day before Easter, so everyone was stocking up on booze. But the only other time I've eaten kangaroo, and this is, I just had another piece that's surprisingly good, was when I worked at an Australian-themed restaurant in Copenhagen.
Mm-hmm.
I was on exchange there.
When you say themed...
It was called Reef and Beef.
Okay, I get that the name is a bit themey, but are we talking like, are there like taxidermy roos in the room?
No, it was themed Australian. There was like,
was it like the Lone Star, there but was, Australia.
Exactly. Okay. Ever so slightly classy. It was trying to be a high-end Australian-themed restaurant called Reef and Beef.
Lone Star, but make it flash.
Flash Lone Star, serving crocodile, barramundi, yeah. Kangaroo. I seem to remember snake, but all the butchers I've called all the Aussie butchers, I actually called the Aussie butcher chain, see if they had any snake.
Oh my God, hilarious.
They've never heard of anyone...
stocking.
Yeah.
Or ordering.
No, like they've never been sent snake from their mates over...
I don't think I've ever heard of people eating snake in Australia.
Does the Aussie butcher have anything to do with Australia?
Well, the person, Tanya, who answered the phone at Mount Roskill Aussie Butcher.
Yeah, but it's a franchise.
She was Australian.
Okay.
And they had crocodile.
Do you think she was just putting on a funny accent?
Maybe, because I was told to put on, at work, in Reef and Beef, to put on a slight Australian accent if I felt like it.
I love that when they get the staff.
I doubt the Danes would really know the difference between a New Zealand and an Australian accent anyway.
They definitely didn't.
Mm. You're all just below them anyway.
Mm. Like literally, I was like a foot shorter than the entire population.
Yeah.
And it's the only place I've ever been fired from, so that was cool.
Why did you get fired?
I... ate the manager's steak one night that he had.
I'm waiting for you to defend yourself.
He had asked for something to be prepared for his dinner and had put it aside, and I thought it was just like staff food. And I picked it up with my bare hands and ate half of it and put it back. And he asked me to, after that, happened to never come back again.
Wow.
I wish I'd just grabbed someone's glass of wine off their table as I walked out and said, you can't fire me because I quit.
I had like the most challenging time I'd ever had in unemployment in Copenhagen. I remember biking through the snow with like 50 CVs printed out, like hard copy, and stopping at every place on my map and being like, hi, I'm from New Zealand. Can I have a job? And they were pretty much just like,
did you go to the Australian restaurant?
I didn't come across Reef and Beef.
Reef and Beef. So we served
although
a lot of
maybe
like,
I just kept driving.
We served a lot of steak and yabby together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I went and tried to get a job at Noma. I just wanted to wash dishes and be a part of it. He's like, we got a year waiting list for kitchen hands.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. But yeah. It was very kind. Like, he was grateful I showed up.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, I'm actually really a really good waitress. Like, why can't I get a job?
Because you can't speak Danish.
Well, there was this one place that did take me in, and I did a couple of trial shifts and got the job. And then later in the week, the manager said to me, how long are you here for? And I said, 6 months. And he went, nah, see ya. Like, they couldn't be bothered training someone that was going to only be around for 6 months. But what I will say is that his training on the first night was, like, the most intense I've ever had. He goes, this is a place where mistakes don't happen.
Ooh. Wow.
I was like, wow.
Anyway, Copenhagen's not in Australia, last time I checked. So let's just...
It's not.
So have you ever been to Tasmania?
No, but that's another thing I was going to say is that's high on my list. I really would love to go to Tasmania. Like, it's a bit of a wineries and nature trip, so I've always felt like when I was in my 20s going around raving, it wasn't high on the list.
There's a bit of raving. I had a rave.
As I slowly morph into a boomer, I used the words PC gone mad yesterday, just so you know.
Oh, no.
I think Tasmania's next on the list.
Yeah. Isn't that the tagline of the spin-off, though? The spin-off, PC gone mad.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I'm not sure if you're welcome if you're gonna start listening to Mike Hosking or something. Fine.
No, I was using it ironically because I think boomers are hilarious, but I also kind of meant it because we had a food verification visit for the council, like an annual inspection, and we passed everything except they told us that we now need to add allergens for sulfites and lupins to our menu, and then... We asked them, like, because the we have Middle Eastern food at Fatima's, so the spice factory says may contain traces of sulfite on it. So would you like us to just outlaw every menu item for someone that may have a sulfite allergy? Also, can you let us know what lupins are? And they didn't know what lupins.
Bloody PC gone mad.
Aren't lupins the buzzy thing in the South Island that flower?
The plants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is so there heaps of lupins like floating around in your food?
Well, who knows? But now we're required to train all of our staff on which menu items have got lupins in them, even though council can't tell us what lupins are and exactly how concerned we should be. Like, is someone going to go anaphylactic? You basically just want to say, there's lupins in here. But anyway, I'm also, the fact that I'm a boomer has nothing to do with Australia either.
But the Tasmania is amazing for food and long walks and also golf.
I feel like I can get it, you know, long walks and golf in New Zealand. You're not selling it to me.
I think it's beautiful. I think it's a nature vibe. And I think they've got a bit of a... See, I've never done like Margaret River in Australia, which is sort of, you know, gives you the American go to a, on a big long drive and go to lots of vineyards kind of...
Yeah.
Wear a goblet around your neck.
That, that kind of thing I reckon would be awesome. But I haven't done that either.
Whiskey, though, that's something that Tasmania offers in a way that you can't find anywhere in this hemisphere, I don't think.
Oh, really?
So all you need for whiskey is really, really delicious water,
right?
Nice clean water, a swamp with heaps of peat, and good barley growing conditions. And Tasmania has that in copious amounts. So they make amazing whiskey.
They've got really amazing. Did you guys watch Australian MasterChef last year?
No.
I love Australian MasterChef. I haven't watched it for a while.
It's always been the best one, right?
I have not watched it for more than 5 years. But we got watching it with some friends last year and became obsessed. But they've got some really interesting ingredients. They're doing a lot of native ingredients focused cooking.
Yes, they seem to have adopted indigenous ingredients a lot more quickly than New Zealand did.
A lot of wattle seed.
However,
oh, cool.
I wonder if it's something to do with the fact that they might not respect, you know, the indigenous people as much. They're like, oh, yeah, bloody hell, let's use this. Whereas here it's like, maybe we're a bit more like, let's, you know, let actual Māori people
lead the movement.
Lead the movement.
Yeah, yeah, sure. And there's a lot of, I think there are a lot of, in Australia, it's a very, in the way that people feel about New Zealand as being like this beautiful oasis, they've got a bunch of chefs from all over the world that go and cook, you know, in the middle of the country in Australia. And so they're not necessarily Australians, but they are doing a great job of learning about Australian ingredients.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I can't wait to get to Sydney and go to some new restaurants.
Yeah, do you know I haven't been to Sydney since for probably like 20 years?
Excuse me?
So I think I went as a teenager, but I don't really remember it, so I need to go.
I went for the first time since the year 2000 in 2019.
Wow.
Yeah, it's probably about the year 2000. Well, yeah, fuck, I don't know. Before,
it's like the same price as flying to the South Island. You do know that?
A little bit more than that.
But I guess you've got to have someone to stay with. Like, for me, it's never been a mad extravagance because I'll either use air points or I will just pay the same as I would to go on, you know, to the South Island or something. Like, I always get flights on sale and then I always have somewhere to stay.
My flights are actually paid for my 2019 trip.
Yeah.
I won a body transformation competition with my best friend Ben.
Oh, you did the rig.
I'll post some photos to the
dietary
requirements Instagram.
Yeah.
It's worth a look.
It's worth an unfollow.
Although what it wasn't worth was the sacrifices you have to make to your diet to end up looking like that. That was rough. 12 weeks of like broccoli and omelets was shit buzz.
Yeah, but you still work out now, which started at the rig off, didn't it?
I don't think we need to go down this alley, but my exercise is based on the way that, like, you know, I feel more vibrant at work. I can focus better. I don't know.
It's got other benefits other
lighter
than your
lighter
mean
on my feet. No, I'm like the fittest plump guy you'll ever meet.
Raising capital or taking your business to the world? Investment Fix has the lowdown on everything you need to make it happen. This season, we're exploring the US market, the opportunities it offers, what it takes to grow a business there, and the best way to approach investors. Join some of the superstars of the investment and business world as they share advice from their time in the US so you can make your mahi count in this massive market. the Investment Fix podcast, brought to you by Invest New Zealand. Tune in today.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spinoff. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spinoff member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Yeah, interesting.
Do you guys know what a jaffle is?
I've never heard of a jaffle.
Australian toasted sandwich.
Yeah.
What makes it Australian?
I'm not quite sure, but they call them jaffle machine. I think it was the brand of the toasty machine.
Sounds like it.
And I went to a pub in Melbourne that just did jaffles, which was great.
Was it good?
I think so.
Because I love
I just love toasted sandwiches. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what's really cool about Melbourne and the food scene in Melbourne, I thought, was that because it's very neighbourhood-based, you can go to one neighbourhood and spend the whole day there. Like, you could go somewhere for breakfast, somewhere for lunch, somewhere for a pre-dinner drink, somewhere for dinner, somewhere for a post-dinner drink. So, like, five places.
Within, like, 500 metres.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, it's just got that population advantage that is just so much more that,
and you can all survive. Because I worry so much about the viability of, you know, really wonderful places in Auckland and Wellington, because there is just so many and so few of us.
Yeah. Although, interestingly, in New Zealand, in Auckland in particular, the suburban hospitality joints have done the best out of COVID.
What's a suburban, like, for example?
Like a destination. So the Hare and Turtle or
Cazador.
Yeah, like somewhere that you go because everyone's been avoiding the city and avoiding the crowds. So I think that's been quite a cool outcome.
That's interesting.
I'd like to educate you about jaffles because it's not just a toasted sandwich machine. It's the one that pushes the edge of the bread together to make it like a pie.
Oh,
like
I love jaffles. Yeah. Toasty pie.
That's right.
They're so dangerous though when you if you don't cut them in half and let them breathe.
Yes, get very hot.
They really hold that heat and you'll take that first bite and you get a steam burn.
Yeah. Yum. Like a pocket of steam.
Yeah. It all sounds like we're pretty excited to visit Australia and eat their food when...
Where the bloody hell are we?
Where the bloody hell are you?
I'm not there yet.
Are there any, just quickly, like we should just bag on Australian food if we've got anything that we hate?
Oh, yeah. I don't reckon their coffee's very good.
Not as good as New
Zealand. It's supposed to be the same, but you get a flat white there and it's like all weak and big. Like they don't do 6 ounce small, think like takeaway.
No, they don't. And also, I think you're right, single shot's the norm there.
It's just bullshit. I also don't think their beer's as good as here. When I was in Melbourne, I was trying all their craft beers and I just ended up getting a New Zealand one.
Great.
Maybe I'm just a bloody patriot.
And also, we should shout out to Chris Parker's Instagram story about the Kiwi that's recently returned from Australia.
Oh, I missed that.
It's very good.
It's hilarious.
Post a link at the Instagram. But no, there isn't a lot to bag on.
I think it's like their food tends to be better priced because they have much lower produce costs than we do.
Right.
But they also have higher staff costs than we do, so I'm not actually entirely sure.
So I reckon the service is also a degree better in Australia.
That's something that I would really add, is that Australians take hospitality seriously as a career.
Yeah.
I'm finding it so frustrating that we've got this culture in New Zealand where people think that what they're doing now has got nothing to do with what they do next. Like, I honestly think I learnt more lessons about how to perform well in a workplace and under pressure through hospitality than I did as a young lawyer.
Yeah.
But people, they honestly just go, oh, we've got staff that don't want to be a manager because they just don't.
Yeah.
And that ability to respond to the needs of entirely different types of people, like all within the same situation.
Anticipate what they want before they want it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love getting served by really smart, educated 35-year-old career waiters in
Australia. Oh, yeah, same. I get like all of the warm fuzzies when someone's like, this is my life, I love this.
Oh, one Australian thing I think I don't like, Tim Tams. Overrated. They're so brash and sort of
I like a Tim Tam, but I'm not a big chocolate.
I'd much rather have a toffee pop or a Mellow Puff.
A Mellow Puff.
Delicious.
Are you five?
Again, I'm a patriot.
Do you punch it? Do you still like...
Yeah, shit, yeah, on your forehead.
Do you like pavlova?
To be honest, I'm not like... I'm kind of
only
ambivalent.
With heaps of cream.
Yeah. And Lamington only with heaps of cream as well, or else it's just like a dry sponge ball.
Shit meringue.
I'd never order it, like, if there's some sort of other chocolate dessert or something, you know? First I like...
It's all right.
Yeah.
It's like a nice, warm hug, but it's not going to change your life.
No.
No, it's not like a pash.
No, it's not a hot pash.
Not a hot
Speaking
pash.
Of hot pashes, we've got a cute exit to this evening's podcast. Jonathan, our producer, and his partner Liz are going out for dinner for their anniversary, and we're going to do a live recommendation. So, if Jonathan, you explain the vibe.
Yeah, what, help what us year? Out. Oh, it's six, and moved house last week, so we, being the pragmatic couple that we are, we just banked the date, and tomorrow is the day for
it. I feel
it,
like moving house together as a couple is a real test, because it's a horrific experience.
I would, honestly, my husband and I have basically had a very smooth run for 12 years, and the closest we've ever come to divorce is moving house.
Yeah.
Try taking a band on tour for a couple of years. That really tests it.
Oh, I could imagine.
But we're very lucky. We're a good team. We should toast it. So where should we go?
I like the idea of Mr. Morris. I've been three times and I
I have never been. So Jonathan, would you and Liz mind if I come along and join the day? Would that be sweet, right? Would be that right?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. Cool.
I find it hard to say no on the air.
Yeah, okay.
But it's fancy, and how would you describe the food?
Oh, the food is fucking delicious.
But like quite intricate?
Okay, it's fine dining, but chilled out a bit is what I would say. So it's not like the food's not intimidating. It's like quail instead of chicken, but it's like a delicious barbecue, tastes like a delicious barbecue chicken. It's, and then he has the side, which is just lemon risotto, and it's like this perfect, really...
What a genius idea for a side.
Yeah, like, he's just...
Forget rocket and pear.
Yeah. And the Negroni, I mean, honestly, the food is great. The service is epic. I really agree with the accolade yesterday.
All right, so what about... There's a chance that we can't get in.
Because it won Beaver's top 50.
Have you been to Peachy on K Road?
Yeah.
Very sweet.
Yeah, okay.
Nice place to sit down. It's kind of like dark and cozy.
Do you mean Peach Pit?
No.
Peachy. P-I-C-I.
So Sophie didn't try hard enough. She should have said Peachy. Because it's Italiano.
So it's a fresh pasta joint inside St. Kevin's Arcade on the left.
I haven't been there yet.
It's pretty young.
Absolutely delish.
Wow. Much more casual than Mr. Morris, but good vibes.
Yeah, casual and cute.
Yeah.
Intimate. I think that Bo Wine Bar. Delicious food.
Lovely. There.
Lovely joint for us. That's in Three Lamps in Ponsonby.
Yeah. I mean, Bar Celeste, if you're on K Road, always.
Oysters,
lovely.
Champagne.
Yeah.
Also on Viva's top 10.
Yeah.
I need to check that list out properly.
Well, I think we should get Jesse in and talk about it, because I got some hard questions to ask him.
Good on you, Si. He's always asking the hard questions.
Yeah.
That's me.
He's the spin-offs version of, what's Mike like Mike? You know, the right-wing pain in the ass that's on the
Mike
road.
Hoskin.
Mike Hoskin.
Simon's the spin-off equivalent.
Asking the hard questions. Yeah. Soon all major restaurateurs are going to boycott the podcast like Jacinda did.
Yeah.
Mike.
Yarning to him.
Well, happy anniversary, Jonathan. We're really proud of you and we're very grateful for your help.
Yes. Cheers, guys.
Thank you.
Music by Has Beats. Shout out to Jane Yee, the head of the Spinoff Podcast Network. Thank you, Sophie and Alice, for being here with us.
And have a nice afternoon, everyone.
Happy Australia Week.
Yeah, thanks, Australia.
All the listeners. Thanks, Australia.
Bye.
Bye.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spinoff Podcast Network.